It's time for Over There with Marella Rostroffer. Marella is our European correspondent. She joins us weekly. I don't know if it's as snowy and cold there as it is there in Switzerland, I should say, as it is here in the Northeast, but we will find out, assuming that that's even where she is. Hello, Marella. How are you?
Hello, Jill. Thank you. Very well. Yes, to answer your weather question, we are having a wonderful spring. Almost 2 weeks without rain, only sunny every single day. So we feel more like in the south of France as in Switzerland at the moment. But let's wait and see. Sometimes winter says hello again in April. In the meantime, I thought about two topics for us today, because one concern the basic income that many countries are talking about, and since we have also talked about this, I wanted to give a little update on the project in Finland. As you remember, Jill, from January 2017 until December 2018, 2,000 unemployed Finns got a monthly payment of about $630. This was a project that was supposed to be running over 2 years. But after 1 year, the first results were not encouraging. And basically, as far as I understand, the project is not going to go ahead. So this Finland basic income is only meant to be a little income monthly in order maybe to see if unemployed people would have then felt more relaxed and less stressed about finding a job at one point. And what happened, according to the reports, is that while people were really feeling more happy because they obviously had a little bit less of the anxiety that being jobless would obviously provoke, they didn't necessarily find more jobs, nor are they sure that they even tried to definitely find a job. This basic income idea is not the same as another idea that goes around these days, which would be a universal basic services that would include education for all, healthcare for all, and transport free for all. So all of these are in a way small tests to see in the future what could be implemented in order to avoid poverty and in order to avoid that many people eventually are kicked out of the regular society curses, and it is supposed to bring also some kind of a solution when artificial intelligence is going to somehow replace a certain quantity of jobs. So there is definitely this this need and also this will of finding maybe a solution in between that would give people the possibility to survive, even if they if one doesn't have necessarily the perfect job or a job at all times. Unfortunately, this seemed to have stopped in Finland. They were not convinced by this experience. But let's not forget, a lot of those experiences, a lot of those tests are made under certain political status, and that change sometimes, and those shifts also bring change in anything that as experimental as a universal basic income. So that would be for Finland. Now, what has been really extremely interesting in the last past days is the polemic around the church and Pope Francis and how he deals with child sex abuse. I think this is a topic that is more actual than ever because, of course, now of the fact that Cardinal George Pell has been convicted for abusing two choir children in Melbourne in 1996. This is definitely one of the highest ranking person in the church. He was also the treasurer in the Vatican and quite close to the Pope, according media reports. So what he did didn't happen in Europe, so it's not directly linked to our topics today. But it only shows that those children's sex abuse are not limited to one country. Of course, he is the last one who has been now accused. He's going to appeal, so nobody really knows what's going to happen. But the fact is that those abuses have taken place in the U.S., in Europe, in Australia, in South America, in Africa. I guess there are basically no place that did not face this kind of accusation. A report from 2004 shows that more than 4,000 U.S. Roman Catholic priests have faced sexual abuse allegations. This is only for the U.S., but it's equally big for the rest of the world. And there have been even nuns that have been abused, which really sound quite almost impossible. But the Pope did acknowledge that they have been abused. In one case, they have been even kind of used as slaves. Pardon. It's just a very impressive and sad report on sex abuse. But to come back on the sex abuse related to children, a conference in the past few days has been taken place in the Vatican called Protection of Minors in the Church. The Pope made a very long speech that satisfied some and not others. He has been talking about sex abuse being the tool of Satan, of the devil. He has been also saying that abuse is even worse, obviously, in the church because it is supposed to live by its own standards, and it and that sense of ethical values and moral authority is really at the source of the church credibility. Concretely, what does that mean? There are some new guidelines for bishops. This is supposed to prevent abuse and punish the one who abuse. It's some kind of code of conduct. He also said that while previously such abuses were supposed to be internally dealt with and reported to the church directly. Now such cases will have to be reported to police and will have to be investigated under the law of the country that is concerned. Those are more or less the concrete measures that he talked about. It seems that other measures are going to be announced, but for the moment, that's about it. And this is why some people and victims actually have been very disappointed in his speech. That was full of metaphors and very, very interesting, but somehow a little bit general and a little bit vague. I have listened to it, and it's definitely a speech that needs to be complemented, to be added to some detailed steps and action, hopefully soon enough. I think the Pope is trying to answer to this crisis his way, but it seems like it is not really really answering the many questions of victims mainly, who would have hoped, I guess if I understood correctly, that he would really have spoken about a zero tolerance law from him. He has the power to do so, but he did not go so far. Now, what's interesting is a case from a woman called Christelle. It's not the real name, it's to protect her. It has been reported from the BBC. It was a sexual abuse between 2010 and 2011, until the day she was raped. And what she says that I thought was quite interesting is that he was unable to control himself. He had a split personality. And I think that maybe this is really the point where the Pope is having the most difficulties in condemning these actions, is though not really talking about the source of those terrible acts, and is not really mentioning what it means for the priest, what it means for the church, what it means for the believers. And just punishing is absolutely the right thing to do, at least in the eyes of the victim and in the eyes of most people. But there is a work to do that is more deeper than that. And it looks like the Pope is either not willing to do so or does not know exactly how to proceed in a matter that is so deeply disturbing, unacceptable, and that basically also shatters all the beliefs of so many people. And it is not exaggerated to say that all of these abuses definitely have a huge impact on the credibility of the church.
Thank you very much, Mirella Rostroffer. Over there.
My pleasure.